Life podcast. We truly hope you'll be inspired and challenged today. Now, let's dive into this message with the family at Pleasant Ridge.
Today, we are in Mark chapter 7 in the Elder series that we do on the first Sunday of the month. And I'm going to try to, it's really kind of a simple idea, so it shouldn't take too long to go through. Why do I have that up there? There, nothing. That's what you should be seeing right now. We're going to talk about dirt today. Did you know one of the songs had the word dirt? Your worship team, do you remember which song? I don't remember. But in the scripture, dirt, uncleanness, defilement, that's the main subject that Jesus is speaking about here today. Housework is never done. How many of you ladies ever have dirt show up? How many of you ladies have ever found the house that the dirt doesn't show up? Wouldn't that be nice? In our situation, I have to do quite a bit of housework. So we got three adults and then two dogs that shed like crazy. And big hardwood floor, so I get out the dust mop every morning, all over the floor, go out the front door, shake it, and all this dog hair just goes flying all over the place. Dirt happens. Dirt is there. And do you have your favorite cleaning product you go to? Barkeeper's Friend? Or the white sponge, magic eraser? What's that called? Magic eraser? Mr. Clean? Yeah, that's what it is. Lysol? So today, we find a group of people that get mixed up about what spiritual dirt is and spiritual uncleanness, and they start mixing it up with our dirty house, our dirty hands. And we're going to look at that, see what Jesus says, and we're going to move right on through here. So today we're going to look at spiritual dirt or uncleanness. And the first point I'm going to make is just the historical background. And then we will see four proclamations Jesus makes: his evaluation of the Pharisees' dirt, his evidence that they got it all mixed up, his explanation about what we really should be looking out for, and then he expounds on that even more with his disciples. So that's what we're going to look at today. And if you want to take home a little phrase, remember this: keep Jesus cleaning our true dirt. Keep Jesus cleaning our true dirt. We're going to find out we do have true dirt, and we're going to find out that Jesus cleans it. Keep Jesus cleaning our true dirt. Before we start, I'm going to jump to the main verse in the middle of this section, and we're going to be jumping around a little bit today. This is the key verse. We'll go to the first part in a minute, but in the middle of this passage, Jesus says this to the crowd: nothing outside a person can defile them by going into them. That's the house dirt, the other dirt. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them, the dirt that comes out of us. Okay? If you remember that one scripture passage, you will have this, you will remember this pretty well. So, the event, and this is the scripture that I'll be reading. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with their hands that were defiled, that is, unwashed. Kids, you ever get yelled at? There's no kids in here. You ever yell at your kids, say, go wash your hands? And then this is a parenthetical statement. The Pharisees, this is by Mark who wrote the book, the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. The background here is these Pharisees had come from Jerusalem. They were looking to find a way to accuse Jesus, to find something wrong with him. And the ceremonial washing they described wouldn't even have enough water to really wash your hands. It was a little dab of water, and you rub it over your hands, and then you are clean, and you can go eat. That's what the disciples were not doing. It was very much just a ceremonial thing. And the Bible did have some mandates for washing, but it had nothing to do with when you sit down to eat or to wash the kettles and the cups and the pitchers. That was all the tradition of the elders. And even the Pharisees asked Jesus, they asked him, why don't your disciples wash your hands in the tradition of the elders? Not in, according to the scripture, why don't they wash? It was all tradition. In our Christian lives, we got to be careful that what we stand for is in scripture. And not just tradition. Now, we all have convictions, and we need to stand for them. But you'll probably find within this room even, there are some different convictions. That's different than what's stated in Scripture. And the Pharisees had it all mixed up with standing on their traditions. And in the New Testament, it can be hard because we have freedom in Christ. But we need to stand for Scripture, but we don't base our spiritual life, our salvation, on traditions of men. And that's basically what Jesus is saying. Now, his proclamation back to these Pharisees. What did Jesus think of their question about unwashed hands? Well, right here. He replied, Isaiah was right about you. He prophesied about you hypocrites. Kind of laying it on him, isn't he? As it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. They have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to human traditions. Jesus lays it on them. You were hypocrites. Isaiah talked about you, and he has nothing good to say about them. He is totally against any kind of human tradition taking the place of Scripture. We need to make sure that whatever we do in our Christian life is genuine, not just an outward show or something we're trying to do to have our hearts be right. And Jesus says that we need to be looking into our hearts. Legalism, one, it teaches the commands of men as doctrine versus the actual scripture. And two, legalism, the second aspect is it rejects the commands of God. That's legalism. When you start rejecting what Scripture says and say, this is what I believe and this is what we got to be doing, and it's not in Scripture. So he was very, very hard on them. And he said, you guys are not teaching the true Word of God. You are teaching and holding on to human traditions. So that's his evaluation of you hypocrites. And he lays it on them. Don't ever start standing for something that is your opinion or your tradition, where Jesus would have to point to you and say, you need to straighten up. That is not exactly what my scripture says. Now, convictions are fine. Hold on to your convictions, but understand they're your convictions, that the Bible says this, and therefore I won't do this, or I won't go there, or I will dress like this. Yet, we hold each other accountable to what's in Scripture. And I don't have a nice line to divide between those two. That's part of what Joellen said about unity. We need to talk about it and say, I question what you are doing or the words you use or what's going on in your life. Do you feel like, you know, and have that conversation with people when we feel like they have crossed the line, but never say, we know it all, we got it, my way is the right way, and your way is the wrong way, except when it's specifically spelled out in Scripture. So, his evaluation of them, he said, you are hypocrites. Now, he jumps to a specific evidence in these verses. This is a specific thing they were doing. And he continued, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Again, he's not being real nice to him. He's laying it on the line. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses their father and mother is to be put to death. Old Testament had a high standard of how you should treat your parents. You put to death if you curse them. So that's the situation Jesus gives them. Now, what had the Pharisees done? But you say that if anyone declares what might have been used to help their father and mother as Corban, that is, devoted to God, then you no longer let them do anything for their father and mother. Thus, you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. This is the specific example. So, I got some money. My parents are in need. I say, oh, this money is Corban. It's dedicated to God. Now, I didn't have to give it to the temple or anything or give it to God. I just said it's dedicated to God. Therefore, I don't have to spend it on you, Mom and Dad, to take care of you. It's Corban. I'm just going to hang on to it for a while. What a hypocrite. How more hypocritical could you be? That was his evidence of these things, that they, in this example, have directly gone against what God had taught them. It is interesting that the Pharisees, they were trying to be spiritually clean. They were trying, but their method was not right. But they were trying. We all desire to be clean, but we have to do it through Jesus Christ. There is dirt in all of our lives, just like there's dirt probably, maybe, in all of our homes. It shows up in the corners where you don't look very often, the room you don't go into. It does. It shows up. Same spiritually. Sometimes the spiritual dirt is so hard to clean, though, we give up. I think that was the Pharisees. It takes spiritual work and effort to keep trying to move through this life in a path that's honoring to God. And if you want to take an easier way, say, forget that. I'm just going to make sure I wash my hands before I eat my food, and I'm fine, and we're done. That's the easy way. We choose the hard way of trying to honor God in all we do and in our lives, trying to keep our lives clean. Then in the next verses, this is what we read earlier. This is the explanation Jesus gives after he calls the Pharisees out. He says, again, Jesus called the crowd to him. So he's talking to the Pharisees. Now he's talking to the crowd. Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a person can defile him by going into them. Rather, it is what comes out of a person that defiles them. That's the hard part. How often does something come out of our mouth? Do we do something? Do we react in a way that that's not what I wanted to do, but I did it. That's coming out of us that defiles us. I want to get a little technical here. In the original language that Scripture was written in, you could write a word like we have past, present, future. You could write a word just to mean a simple event contained in itself. That's called the aorist tense. You could write the same word in a present tense that had a time element. Keep going or repeating. And these two tenses are used here. The aorist, the first one, is a simple, undefined view of an action as a complete whole. It does not specify the duration nor the repetition of the action. But the present is ongoing, continuous, or repeated action. It described an action happening now or something that regularly or habitually or habitual activity. So going back to this verse, when he says nothing outside a person can defile them, that's written as the first way. No time frame, just nothing outside the person. Whenever this passage of scripture talks about the stuff that comes out of us defiling us, it is written in that present tense, which means kind of ongoing, continual. We don't ever reach the place that we're done here on earth spiritually. We've made it. We've arrived. We have things that we need to work with, things we need to ask forgiveness for and turn to the Lord for. So that is what defiles them. It's not the food. It's the what comes out of us. So Jesus gives this explanation to the crowd. And then the good old disciples didn't quite understand. He expounds it to them. After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples ask him about this parable. And I just like Jesus. Are you so dull? Duh. Duh. And he asked, don't you see that nothing that enters a person from the outside can defile them? But it doesn't go into their heart, but into their stomach and out of the body. So we get our lesson on biology here, and imagine a picture of your digestive system with your esophagus. Knocking off your microphone. Whoops, maybe I really broke it. Okay, here we go. Imagine your esophagus making a turn and going to your heart. It doesn't do that. It goes to your stomach. It's in the digestive system. It has nothing to do with the heart. Think how crazy it is that the Pharisees believed that if you didn't wash your hands, it would somehow affect your spiritual being. I don't understand that. So it goes into a person and goes out of them. In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. And again, this is in parentheses. This is a sidelight. I just want to say quickly, don't not eat any food for spiritual reasons. Old Testament was against pork, so we can't eat it. That's a spiritual reason. Now, if you want to not eat food for health reasons, you don't like it, or even if you're on a spiritual fast, that's okay. But don't spiritualize the idea that some food we can't eat, or if we do eat it, it'll hurt us spiritually. This verse is saying that's not true. In this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. And then he gets really tough on us. He was tough on the Pharisees. He was tough on his disciples. For it is from within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All of these evils come from within a person and defile them. So we have to work on the things that are truly dirty. It's from what comes within that defiles us. Spiritual sins come from within, and we all know we've experienced it. We've had something in our lives that was just wrong for us, and we did it, we said it, we went there, whatever. But that's the one we need to say, Jesus, forgive me and clean me up. Don't say, I'm going to ignore that, and I'm going to come over here and make up for it with my righteous deeds and acts and be a good person, and we'll just ignore what I did back there. That's exactly what the Pharisees did. We want to stay away from that. Jesus points to us and says, hey, it's from within. It's from your heart, and we're all in that condition, but we all, if we have Jesus in our hearts, are saved, and he can forgive us and make us clean and make us pure. One time I was at we were at my brother's house in California for vacation, happened to be over there over his birthday, and they had an open house kind of thing of cake and punch, and their friends were in and out and stuff, blah, blah, blah. All done, wrapping up, helping my brother clean up, and they have an off-white couch, and they served red velvet cake. And some child had spilled it, and, well, my brother said, well, I got something that'll take care of that. He went and got Folex. Anybody here have Folex in your cupboard, in your home? It's a fabric cleaner. He went and got that and poured it out of the jar on there, kind of soaked it, did this with his fingers, kneaded it in there, and then put paper towels on it and dried it clear out. It was gone. I got Folex now. I could not believe it. It took that red stain out of the white fabric. That's us. Jesus can take the worst of stains and make us white. The snow outside, white as snow, he can do that for us. So just quickly as I go through this passage, what I want to tell you is there's no neutral position. We are all have some things in our hearts that are going to come out from time to time. We need to ask Jesus to forgive us. We need to work on them. May the fruits of the Spirit be demonstrated in our lives more and more. We all know that our houses, our cars, our desks, our workshop, our basement, etc., never stay clean. They always tend to become dirty. Recognize the true dirt that comes from our heart. Ask Jesus to clean the true spiritual dirt in our lives. And Jesus doesn't say much about how to clean, so I'm going to add that. Just a very simple verse that many of us know. If we claim to be without sin, if we claim that our hearts are fine, it's the other people that are bad. If we claim to be out without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Take care of it. And this is how you do it. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness, or clean us from all unrighteousness. So it's a pretty simple point today. When those things come out of us that really are dirt, take care of them. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Don't ignore them like the Pharisees and try to wash them away with some human activity or doing better at something else. Just ask Jesus to forgive us. And that's what we really need to do as we think of this scripture. It's not what we take in that defiles us. It's what comes out of our hearts. So remember that this week. Let's pray.
If you're interested in more information about our church or knowing the peace that Jesus gives, visit our website at lifeattheridge.church.